PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. Reading Rainbow, I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. Reading Rainbow, I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book.
We lost our house because it was a fire.
I was really scared because I thought we was gonna live out in the street and have nowhere to go.
My mother couldn't pay the rent on time, so they put padlocks on our door.
I wish I could go back home.
I only could take some of my clothes and some plastic bags.
Sometimes I feel like I'm leaving the whole world behind because I'm leaving the block and I'm leaving my friends.
The one thing that was really difficult about moving and stuff was like losing all my friends and my pets and stuff, leaving them behind.
And you wish that you could have one friend that you know for a long time in your classroom.
I don't want to tell the kids in school I live in a shelter because they're going to be teasing me a lot.
Because then they'll taunt me, tease me and stuff, talking about you live in a shelter, you a bum.
I'm afraid to tell my friends that I live in a homeless shelter because they might make fun of me because they live in a better place and they might think I'm like poor and stuff, but it's not my fault that I live there because I just got there. It's not my fault.
Hi. The kids you just met are exactly like you and your friends, except for maybe one thing. Their families can't afford to pay for places to live, so they don't have homes. Most of us take having a home for granted. We've got a place to go every night, a room with our own bed in it. We've got neighbors, friends, school. A whole world that belongs to us. But when you're homeless, you don't have any of these things. Living without them can be hard. Sometimes we see people in the streets of our towns and cities who seem to be lost or wandering. They're sleeping on sidewalks, living in shacks, tents, even cars. We see them on lines waiting for food to eat. They are living this way because they don't have homes. And that's why we call them homeless. Why are these people homeless? Some people lose their homes to accidents like fires or hurricanes. But most families in this country are homeless because they are poor. And there is not enough inexpensive housing in our cities and towns for families who are poor. These families, and there are millions of them, travel from relative to relative for help. Or live temporarily in shelters that the government provides.
Come on, honey.
It's against the law to live in public places like parks and bus stations, so homeless people spend a lot of their time and energy trying not to get caught. One way is to keep moving and always look like you're going somewhere. That's what a boy and his father do in this book, Fly Away Home.
Fly Away Home. By Eve Bunting. Illustrated by Ronald Himmler. Read by Daniel Saltzman. My dad and I live in an airport. That's because we don't have a home, and the airport is better than the streets. We're careful not to get caught. Mr. Slocum and Mr. Vale were caught last night. They sang 10 green bottles hanging on the wall. They were as loud as two moose bellowing. Dad says they broke the first rule of living here. Don't get noticed. Dad and I try not to get noticed. He and I wear blue jeans and blue t-shirts and blue jackets. We each have a blue zippered bag with a change of blue clothes. Not to be noticed is to look like nobody at all. Once we saw a woman pushing a metal cart full of stuff. Security moved her out real fast. Everything in the airport is on the move. Passengers, pilots, cleaners with their brooms. Jets roar in close to the windows. Other jets roar out. Everyone's going somewhere except me and Dad. We stay. Once a little brown bird got into the main terminal and couldn't get out. It threw itself at the glass, fell panting on the floor, flew to a tall metal girder, and perched there, exhausted. "Don't stop trying," I told it silently. "Don't. You can get out." For days, the bird flew around, dragging one wing, and then it fell in the instant when a sliding door was open and slipped through. I watched it rise. Its wings seemed okay. "Fly, bird," I whispered. "Fly away home." The airport's busy and noisy even at night. Dad and I sleep anyway. In the mornings, we wash up in one of the bathrooms.
2 days in San Francisco.
Strangers talk to strangers.
And then back to the family.
Dad and I, we don't talk to anyone. We buy breakfast at one of the cafeterias. Sometimes, Dad gets me a carton of juice. On the weekends, Dad takes the bus to work. He's a janitor in an office in the city. On those days, Mrs. Medina looks out for me. The Medinas live in the airport too, and Denny Medina is my friend. He and I collect rented luggage carts that people have left outside and return them for 50 cents each. If the crowds are big and safe, we offer to carry bags. "Get this one for you, lady. It looks heavy." We hope the people give us tips. When Dad comes home from work, he buys us all hamburgers. If Denny and I have had a good day, we treat for pie. But I've stopped doing that. I save my money in my shoe. Dad, will we ever have our own apartment again? I'd like it to be the way it was before Mom died. "Maybe we will," he says, "if I can find more work, if we can save some money." He rubs my head. I know he's trying all the time to find us a place. He takes newspapers from the trash baskets, and then he goes to the phones. When he comes back, he looks sad. Sad and angry. I know he's been calling about an apartment, and the rent's just too high for us. "I'm saving money too," I tell him, and I lift one foot and point to my shoe. Dad smiles. Attaboy. Sometimes I watch people meeting people. "We missed you. It's so good to be home." Sometimes I get mad, and I just want to run at them and push them and shout, "Why do you have homes when we don't? What makes you so special?" That would get us noticed, all right. Sometimes I just want to cry. I think Dad and I will be here forever. Then I remember the bird. It took a while, but a door opened. And when the bird left, when it flew free, I know it was singing.
Most of the time when families are homeless, they don't live in airports. They stay in shelters that are run by charities or the government. A shelter can provide some things, like a roof over your head, maybe even a hot meal. But it's not the same as having your own home. This is the Castro family. They had a home in Brooklyn, New York, until one night there was a fire and they had to leave.
Losing the house on Park Street, I never thought that would happen. I thought that we would live there for the rest of our lives. You know, I was getting to, you know that place so well.
I felt bad because I had a lot of friends and I liked it. I liked it around here.
The night that we left our house, we didn't have a place to stay.
My dad lost his job, so we didn't have enough money to get a new place to live. It was scary because we had little babies and we didn't know where we was gonna eat or where we was gonna go.
We spent the 2 weeks in our car driving around looking for a place to stay.
It's hard to believe that we all stood inside that car for 2 weeks. It was like a nightmare.
We didn't know if we were gonna get any money for food.
I didn't know when we was gonna eat. And I could eat up a storm. And I couldn't eat up a storm no more because we had no money for food.
My little sisters were very hungry. All they could do was like drink milk. So my mother, you know, didn't have any money for milk, so there wasn't really milk for them. And they were going wild. They were really hungry, you know. And I felt so bad because they were so little.
Then my father said not to worry about it. He said we're gonna have to go to the shelter.
Powers is a shelter, and a shelter is a place where the city puts families that don't have homes.
We felt relieved when we went to Powers so we could finally get out of that car and have some elbow space.
The good part about Powers was that we had a place to stay.
We had a 2-bedroom with a nice kitchen.
We had a roof over our head, you know.
But it was still scary around there.
People have gotten hurt there, robbed.
So I was hoping that nothing happened to my mother or my father or my family.
I never gave up hope.
I wanted to keep on going and going till I got a place to stay at. Finally, after a whole lot of looking, a social worker helped us find a new house.
I was so happy, I felt like crying.
Once I came in, I started doing front flips. I was doing front flips of joy.
And when we all first just walked in here, we were so happy to, you know, see a house.
I consider myself lucky to get a nice house like this. After what our past is, we didn't expect to be homeless, but that's the way life goes. Everybody has something bad in their past. And our past was a little too bad, but we hanged on. I learned not to be scared of things like this, that if we stick together, we could handle it.
Even though that there was a time when I was homeless myself, I didn't think of myself as those people in the street, but I thought of myself as a person without a home that needs to get one quickly.
There's nothing wrong with a person that's homeless. They're the same person as they were when they had a home, but more scared.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Cake. looks cool.
The homeless word, I don't like that word. It's an ugly word.
Oh, my bad, my bad.
Nothing's gonna get over.
I appreciate a home much more than I used to. Because now I know what a home means to a family.
I see. Let me see. Take over the house.
A warm place that you can share your feelings, your hopes, and your dreams.
A home is like a part of a family. It's what keeps a family together.
It's a place that guards you. It's a safe place.
Perhaps you've seen or you know someone whose family is homeless and you've had some questions about it. Well, here are some books that might help, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, I'm Sophia, and I'd like to tell you about a book called The Homeless Hibernating Bear. It's a very special story written by a very special group of kids. The story is written by kids who are homeless. The main character is Frankie, and she's a bear. Chris is a boy who lives in the community shelter. Mandy is his friend. They're both homeless. The pictures are drawn by the kids who wrote the book. Each one is different, and they help to tell the story. I think it's important to understand how a homeless person must feel. This book is a great way to start. Read The Homeless Hibernating Bear.
Hi, I'm Daniel. It's sad to know some people are hungry, but it's good to know some people care. That's what Uncle Willie and the soup kitchen is all about. Uncle Willie works at a soup kitchen. Uncle Willie picks up his nephew every day after school. The boy is curious about what the soup kitchen is like. The soup kitchen has big pots to feed all the people who are hungry. Uncle Willie and the boy meet the people at the door. The people eat, and the boy and Uncle Willie feel good. This is kind of a sad and happy book at the same time. I highly recommend Uncle Willie and the Soup Kitchen.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Wong, and here's a great book called Home. It's filled with beautiful poems and short stories. 30 authors and illustrators worked on this book. Each page has a different story and describes a place someone calls home. The pictures are all different. Some are realistic, and some are like cartoons. Home is a place where you feel comfortable. What does home mean to you? When you read these stories, you'll feel like you're in Grandma's kitchen, or out in the garden, or wherever you call home.
When most of us hear about a problem like homelessness, we want to do something. After all, we're all a part of a community, and when people are in need, the rest of us should try to help.
Common Sense is a group of kids that collects pennies for the homeless. People think that kids can't really make a difference and we're just kids and we can't do anything. But we are with the help of Common Sense.
The idea for Common Sense actually started with my daughter.
One day when I was 3 years old, I was walking down the street with my father, and I noticed a homeless man.
And he had those bursted old sneakers with newspaper stuck inside to keep him warm.
And I noticed that he was cold, so I asked my father if we could take him home.
And I didn't know how to answer that question.
A few days later, he was picking me up from a neighbor who was babysitting me, and he noticed that she had a big jar of pennies.
And I thought to ask her, would she give these pennies to help homeless people? And she said, take them.
And he remembered that we had a jar of pennies at home. So he thought that probably a lot of people in New York City had jars of pennies. And that's how Common Sense started.
The first thing that we have to do is we have to collect the pennies.
Hi.
It's called Penny Harvest Day.
I think you got a letter.
You got a lot.
Yes. Yeah. So you.
When I first started, I didn't think people would really give any money. But they did. They gave a whole lot.
So after we've harvested all this money, we have to count it and sort it. We all come together in what we call a field day.
I got a demented one.
I never saw so many pennies in my life till that day that we did the field day.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Go, 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 go.
It's the only time in your life you will see thousands of dollars worth of pennies in one room at one time.
At the end of all this, you make like $1,000. It's really amazing.
First word that comes to mind when I do it, it's like, wow. This could like really help somebody.
Okay, we have $1,025 that we harvested that we have to give away today. After this field day, we have to decide where we want to spend the money.
It's good to support more homeless shelters. I know of a place called Clinton Family Inn.
What exactly is the Clinton Family Inn?
Well, it's for like single parents. And there's daycare there.
Okay, so have any of you actually been down to the Clinton Family Inn?
Yeah, I passed by and stuff, and the kids are really cute.
Did they tell you anything that they needed?
Well, I saw that their rug was pretty beat up, but so I think we should get them like a nice one. They needed cots.
Cots. Anything else?
They really need books because, I mean, I noticed that they didn't have any books.
Yeah. So we're going to be giving the money to the Clinton Family Inn.
Kids can really make a difference helping others.
All right, push off people.
Okay, push off.
It's not just collecting pennies, you're having fun.
Kelly.
Everybody can see that we're not just kids and we can do something. It's just fun to see smiles on people's faces when you go and help them.
It just shows that everybody, no matter how old, can really do something to help.
I've learned that I can really make a difference in people's lives. It sort of feels nice.
My name is Matthew Goldstein. I'm 18 years old and I'm a City Harvest volunteer. City Harvest is an organization that takes the food, the leftover food from restaurants, supermarkets, and other places.
Yeah, City Harvest.
How you doing, Matthew?
Oh, pretty good, Teddy. How's it going?
And brings it to the people who need them
at
shelters, children's hospitals.
Take care now.
All right. We feed whoever is hungry. And most of it is kids.
What's up, Matthew? How's it going, bro?
Okay.
That's all we got.
When I was younger, I remember I was at a fast food restaurant with my parents, and there was a man looking through the garbage. And it was, you know, like, I didn't know totally what was going on because I was really young, but I saw my father, you know, go and buy some food for him. And it, like, I knew it as soon as he did it, that he was helping him because he didn't have any food. And I it just stuck in my mind. I went home that night and it just stuck in my mind.
All right, let's go.
I don't get paid for City Harvest being a volunteer. I do this because I want to do this. I want to get the food to the people who need it. First, it started out as a school project. You had to do 10 hours of service for the community. After the 10 hours, I liked the idea of giving food out so much that I stayed with it. The hours can get very long sometimes. I'll start right after school and it'll run pretty late into the night. At 7 to 8 o'clock, we'll still be dropping off food. I still do my homework, but this is the main interest. Volunteering for City Harvest means a lot to me because it gives me a sense of responsibility. It gives me a warmth knowing that I'm helping other people, especially children.
Hey Rupert.
Hey, what's happening?
How's it going?
Okay. We got some restaurant food here.
What you got here?
I got probably some food outside.
Spinach tortellini.
I feel like I'm doing it for myself to make me feel good, but you're really helping a lot of people.
Today, I'm volunteering to spend some time with the kids at this shelter, so I brought some of my favorite books to read. Homelessness is a big problem in our country, and no one person can make it go away. But just think of what a difference it would make if each of us did something to help. If we each give just a little, it will add up to a lot. I'll see you next time. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Who wants to hear a story? Yeah? Okay, everybody wants to hear a story, gather around right over here.
Right.
Everybody gather around. Come on up close, everybody come on up close. How about A Nanny Mouse Writes Again? You want to hear some poems from here? Today's Reading Rainbow books are Fly Away Home by Eve Bunting, illustrated by Ronald Himmler, published by Clarion Books, an imprint of Houghton Mifflin Company. The Homeless Hibernating Bear by Kids Live in Life, published by Gold Leaf Press. Uncle Willie and the Soup Kitchen by Diane DeSalvo Ryan, published by Morrow Junior Books. Home, edited by Michael J. Rosen, published by HarperCollins.